Psalm 119, and we'll read the whole section here, verses 33 through verse 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. Now, yesterday we took a look at verses 33 through verse 35. Teach me, O Lord. And we definitely need the Lord to teach us. Verse 34, give me understanding that I may observe your law. Our keeping the word of the Lord cannot happen unless he both teaches us and gives us understanding for our particular way in which we are to walk. And then in verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments. And I made mention to my wife this afternoon, the make me isn't like twist my arm and put me in a headlock and make me do this. Okay, that's kind of how we read that, right? But it is, grant us the ability to walk in that pathway. And this phrase, make me walk, according to one of the Hebrew lexicons I looked at, was in relation to Israel going across the Red Sea. Did God make a way for them to walk? Yes, he did. And did God, as it were, give them the ability to cross that, make them walk? Well, yes, they had the Egyptian army coming behind them. That might motivate you, right? But there was also Moses and the command to walk. And they did walk across that pathway. The Lord, quote, made them walk. He gave them the ability. He gave them the motivation to do that. And so we prayed those things yesterday afternoon. Tonight, we want to major on verses 36, 37, and 38. I'm not saying that we can't pray anything about teach me or give me understanding or make me walk, but our main emphasis will be on these things. Incline my heart, turn away my eyes, establish your word. Now you'll notice as we read through here that the word revive is used twice in this section of Scripture. The first time is in verse 37. This is our theme, revive me in your ways. And I think it's significant that the prayer request for the Lord to revive us in his way comes after teach me, understanding, make me walk. Incline my what? Turn away my eyes. It's almost like the Lord is saying, this is how the quickening arrives. It arrives through me teaching you. It arrives through me giving you understanding. It arrives through me giving you the ability and the motivation, the to be willing and the to be doing to walk in the path of what I delight in. It comes from the inclination of my heart to your testimonies and the turning away of my eyes from looking at vanity. O Lord, having done those requests that I've requested of you, revive me in your ways. And then the second time this is seen is in verse 40 when he says, revive me through your what? your righteousness, not my righteousness, not my so-called goodness, but in your righteousness. And I do think it's interesting. I don't want to make too much of it or too little of it, but I do think it's interesting that that comes after verse 38. Establish your word, turn away my reproach. Now revive me through your righteousness. And so this is how reviving comes. Reviving comes as we praying for it? We are praying for it, but we don't stop there. We got to open our Bible and let God do it through His teaching, through His understanding, through His inclining our heart, through His giving us the motivation to walk in the path and the strength to walk in those commandments, and the ability to turn away my eyes from vanity. That's being revived. Because at that point, you are rejoicing in who? In the Lord, right? And that's revival. And so here we got the request for, revive me in your ways, and how He is to do that. So let's take a look at these. Verse 36. Here's the prayer. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Here's the request, not toward this object, to dishonest gain. Now, one of the things I think many Christians do not understand is that the natural inclination of men's hearts is not to the Lord. We kind of think, well, if we're just charismatic enough to people, then they're going to be attracted to this. Or if we just make sure we say the right thing in the right way and the right emotion, then they're going to be attracted to this. Lost men's hearts are not inclined to the Lord's words, to His testimonies. And folks, do we still have the flesh in us as believing people? Our flesh not only is not inclined, it will never be inclined. It will never get any better. You will not be able to reform your flesh so that you will never ever have various battles with your flesh, or that you won't have to pray this prayer. Who's praying this prayer? A believer? A believer is praying this prayer. Isn't that amazing? He's feeling his heart, as the song says, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And so here is this inclination. Mankind, lost mankind, definitely is not leaning toward the Lord. But even we ourselves have to battle with our flesh. I'm just going to ask a question. Don't answer it out loud. But do you battle with coldness of heart? Does your heart affections ebb and flow? Do you ever wonder and say, Lord, my heart is so cold. I don't want it to be that cold to you. You ever prayed anything like that? This is coming from a believing heart. And folks, you won't have that coming from a lost person's heart because they just don't what? They don't care. They don't care. Right? And so here is this prayer. Incline my heart to your testimonies. And folks, this prayer for our hearts to be inclined is not only true for our church, not only is it true for our homes, but it is true for our children. Our children are not born into this life with the inclination for God. Would that be a good prayer to pray for your children, parents, your grandchildren? Lord, incline their hearts to your testimonies. One of the most amazing statements in my Bible And I'm going to just read it for you. It's in John chapter 8, verse 45. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. We read some of it yesterday, where he says, "You are of your father the what? You are of your father the devil." But listen to what he says to them. He said, But because I speak the truth, you do not believe." Now think about that. What Jesus is telling these religious people, did they have the scrolls? Okay, did they have the covenants, the privileges? He's telling these people, the very fact I'm telling you truth, you won't believe it. If I tell you a lie, implication, you will what? You'll believe that. Do you see the inclination of people's hearts? And folks, that's why it is a gift from God to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church where an overwhelming majority of the people that are there, their hearts are inclined to this. Amen? This is not the default in this world. This is a work of God among us. "Just because I speak the truth, you don't believe me." Amazing. Amazing statement. So what do we need? Well, we need to, for us to be revived in God's ways. How? By inclining my heart to what He has spoken. Everybody see that? Incline my heart to your testimonies. It's amazing, and I'm speaking of myself, I'm speaking of my history as a pastor, I'm speaking of my observation of men. It's amazing how excited we can get about things, but when it comes to God's Word, it is just drab. We have the greatest treasure in all the world sitting in our hands. And people will get more excited to get a check in the mail for $1,000 when they have a book with the unsearchable riches of Christ in it. Am I right about that? I am right about that. And I've often thought, I don't watch game shows, but I, in the past, before I was saved, you know, these game shows where they win millions of dollars, I've often thought, you know, here's a package, you know, and it's got a box around it. You don't know what's in it. And they say, "Now pick one of these." And they pick that box and they're so excited. And then you open it up and there's a Bible. What do you think their face would look like?
Disappointed.
I came on this show for that? Okay, what if there was a car underneath it? They go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And folks, this is not only true for lost people, this is true for us. We need to be careful that our hearts are inclined to the right thing. Now, a car's not bad. Getting a check for $1,000, that'd be a good thing, okay? But we have the greatest riches of all, and that is the testimonies of our Lord. We have to make sure that our hearts have the proper object. One commentator wrote about this passage. He said, "Our hearts must have some object of desire. And the only way to keep worldly gain is to put in its place the testimonies of the Lord." I thought that was good, right? If in our hearts, if our hearts are not inclined to the testimonies of the Lord, what's going to take its place? Gain. The King James uses this word, covetousness. And you see that all around us, don't you? And don't you see it in you and me? Right? And so we need to pray, incline our church, incline our home, incline me, incline my heart, my children's heart, my grandchildren's heart, to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Verse 37. Here's the prayer request. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. Second prayer request. And revive me in your ways. This is an interesting verse because it seems to indicate that the turning away of my eyes from vanity is connected to revive me in your ways. Right? It's all in the same verse. So you got the imperative, you're praying this to God. You're actually commanding God to answer this request. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. Here's another imperative. And revive me in your ways. Now folks, as we think about this and the necessity of praying for it, what do you think about this statement? The world is always trying to gain your eye. The world is always trying to gain your eye. Let's go a little bit deeper. Your flesh is always trying to get your attention. And so what do we need to pray? We need to pray that our eyes are turned away from vanity. And folks, sometimes we think about this. Vanity is emptiness, is the emptiness of this life. And sometimes when we're thinking about that, we think about, you know, the bad things that the world is doing. But listen to what the Apostle John writes about this. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen to this description. For all that is in the world, how much?
All
that is in the world. What is this? Oh, don't love the world or the things in the world. All right, what is he talking about? All that is in the world. For all that is in the world, now here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the
eyes,
and the boastful pride of life. Folks, we hardly think about worldliness in those three categories. Where is the lust of the flesh located at? Where's the loci of this? It's in us, isn't it? Where's the loci of the lust of the eyes? It's in our flesh, isn't it? Where does the boastful pride of life come? It comes from our flesh. We tend to think of the world and the things in the world as out there. But folks, you could be a monk and you could isolate yourself in your home because you want to get away from the world. But guess what? You brought it with you when you went in there and isolated yourself. Am I right? And folks, I don't know of anyone else in the Bible that fulfilled verse 37 than Jesus Christ. When the devil tempted him, he took him and showed him all the kingdoms of this earth and the glory of it. He showed it to him. Jesus is seeing it with his eye. Okay. Thank God he did not have an inward traitor like you and me. Right? He had no sin nature. But what did he have to do? He had to turn away his what? His eye. And he had to find his delight in the testimonies of the Lord and in his Father. And when he did that, he was able to say, "Get thee behind me." Right? He did this verse. We need to pray to him that he does this in us. Verse 38, "Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you." The word "establish" here refers to a fulfillment or to make something certain. What the psalmist is praying for is that with my heart inclined to the testimonies, and my eyes being turned away from vanity, he's desiring that the words that he is reading is made sure to him. That he sees this being fulfilled in him. Right? "Teach me. Oh Lord," what do you mean by that? "Lord, would you make sure that word to me?" The request for understanding. How will he know that that word is established in his life? When he gains what? When he gains understanding. How will he know that he is walking in the path, so that he has that motivation to do? When he sees the testimonies of the Lord work that in him, right? So he's praying to be taught. He's praying for understanding. He's praying for the inclination of the heart. He's praying for his eyes to be turned away. He's praying for the quickening in God's ways. And so now what you want is for the Lord to make sure to your servant, the one who's praying, "Make sure to me the fulfilling of that word. Set that word up in my life." And folks, when you see God answer prayers like this, and it truly is a work of the Lord, what you will see in your heart is reverence. The King James word is probably fear. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. And I couldn't help, as I was reviewing this morning and thinking about it, how much lack of reverence in our churches today. Why? Well, there's lots of reasons to that. But one reason may be that these things are not being requested and being seen in Christians' lives. We need the Lord to establish His Word in our church. We need to see the result of God making sure that word to us in our assembly. We need to see that in me individually. We need to see the grace of His word in our homes, working in our children's lives. Don't we need that? That would be the greatest riches, would it not? To see, to have our eyes open and see the good that our Lord is doing in and through our lives. Surely that needs to be requested. So incline my heart, turn away my eyes, establish your word to your servant. And folks, when we do that, we will be being revived in His ways. So let's go to our Lord now as a church and make these requests to Him. And may He establish that in our lives and in our church.